Welcome to Local Motion, KVNF's weekly public affairs program. I'm Jody Peterson. This is an encore presentation of a program that was originally aired on May 29th, 2019. At the end of this program, we'll have an update recorded in early June 2020 about the all-female wildland fire crew. On a cool morning in late May, clouds hang low over the Grand Mesa, a few miles south of the town of Battlement Mesa. Eight young women move slowly through the brush, wielding hand tools to clear the vegetation down to bare soil. They're building a fire break, a line meant to contain an oncoming wildfire and keep it from spreading.
How do you guys feel with a different tool? Quite a bit different, huh?
You can definitely see why each one's made for something different.
Exactly, yeah.
Parts. Could not break ground with this very well.
But on this rainy day, no fire is actually burning in the forest. These women are out here training to become wildland firefighters through a partnership between the Bureau of Land Management and the Western Colorado Conservation Corps. Women aren't often found on fire lines. They make up about 1/8 of the permanent wildfire suppression staff in the Forest Service and Bureau of Land Management. But the agencies are working to change that through programs such as this one, which drew women from all over the country to learn about firefighting. Other all-female wildland crews have been formed in Arizona, Wyoming, and Oregon, but these women, out here swinging Pulaskis in their yellow Nomex shirts, are the first all-female wildland fire crew in Colorado. To find out more about this Colorado crew, I spoke with a man overseeing their training, Lathan Johnson, a fire management specialist with the Bureau of Land Management. I also talked to several of the women on the crew, and two women who've been wildland firefighters for many years. I asked Lathan Johnson why the BLM wanted to have an all-female crew.
Historically, this has been a field that there is a lot more males than there is females, but I think that we're really looking for opportunities to expose more women to the field and help them out getting in entry level and providing them some training.
How did you recruit for this crew?
You know, that was part of the partnership. The Western Colorado Conservation Corps did all the initial hiring, so they'll be Western Colorado Conservation Corps employees most of the summer when they're out doing non-fire line work, and then they'll become BLM emergency firefighters. Is when we actually have a wildfire, we can bring them in as BLM employees and have them be part of the fire suppression program that we run here on the Western Slope.
Since they'll be fighting fire, were there specific requirements that the BLM had for age or level of physical fitness?
So part of fighting wildland fire for any of the federal agencies, you have to have a certain number of trainings to fight wildland fires. So this is the training that we're doing this week. It's called Basic Firefighting and Basic Fire Behavior. And then you have to go through a medical examination. And also the final requirement is you have to be able to pass what's called the PAC test, which is a real test of folks' fitness. You have to carry a 45-pound pack 3 miles in 45 minutes. It takes quite a bit of training. And
they'll just be working in the Grand Junction area most of the time?
So they'll be working, kind of up and down the I-70 corridor. What they'll be doing when they're not on wildfires is doing fire mitigation work. So a lot of that work's going to be involved running chainsaws, cutting down trees where the fuels are thick and we could have a severe wildland fire.
What other things are they going to be learning and training this week?
So a lot of this week is just really focusing on the basics, you know, what to expect on their first fire, how to do it safely. A lot of the focus this week has been in terms of the use of hand tools, what goes in their gear, how to appropriately wear their personal protective equipment, and then also what would happen in an emergency. One of the things that we practice as wildland firefighters every single year is how to deploy a fire shelter. So we went through that earlier in the week. And then we'd start off the week by teaching them basic fire behavior, which is really important. And one of the real important things that we teach them is basic firefighting. One of the real legends of the wildland fire business was a gentleman by the name of Paul Gleason, and he always said, be a student of fire. So we're trying to teach them how to start doing that. And then they'll be issued a red card, which all wildland firefighters in the federal system are issued a red card that will show their qualification. The basic qualification they'll come out with is a as a firefighter type 2.
And so then they'd be qualified to work for any federal agency as a firefighter?
That's one of the really good parts about the wildland fire community at the federal level is we use almost identical qualifications for wildland fire. So a lot of the folks work between the Forest Service and the BLM or the Park Service or the Fish and Wildlife Service and can move back and forth throughout their careers with those different agencies.
Let's talk a little about the stress of firefighting, which can be a really difficult job and exhausting both physically and emotionally. What is the BLM doing to help counter that?
You know, at the national level and all across the agency, we are recognizing this as a huge issue, you know, and really looking at ways to support our employees better, you know, looking at different programs. One of the trainings that we held locally here this spring was a 2-hour session where we brought in a guest speaker to talk about stress management. But it's something that really we do recognize is an issue, and it's something that, you know, I think there's a lot of focus being put on, but, you know, I think it's going to take some time.
Is that a recognition that has been reached fairly recently?
I think it's something that has been. I think there is new focus on suicide prevention and supporting each other. It's something where we, in this program, are really trying to look out for each other, check in on each other, and have more awareness about it.
Does the BLM have specific resources for people?
Yeah, I think there's a really good program that all the federal land management agencies have called the Employee Assistance Program to help with any kind of different crisis folks face mentally or, you know, in their home life. And it's something not just for wildland firefighters, but all federal employees.
I'd also like to discuss sexual harassment and discrimination a bit. There's been a lot of publicity in the past few years about female employees reporting some pretty bad instances of harassment and discrimination in federal agencies. What can you say about that?
You know, I think we really, really strive to have it be a zero tolerance. We take training on it every single year. We focus on that. You know, we follow up and make sure that anybody that's displaying that, you know, has appropriate action taken to them. So I don't feel like that's an issue in our fire program. And that's really what I can talk to. I think the real important thing to recognize with this program is this is a really great partnership that we've formed with Western Colorado Conservation Corps. You know, this is something that they've really done a lot of the legwork on. They specialize in, you know, providing opportunities for youth. And so the BLM's been really fortunate that we've been able to partner with them in this program.
And that was Lathan Johnson of the Bureau of Land Management, who's leading the training of Colorado's first all-female wildland fire crew. I'm Jody Peterson, and you're listening to Local Motion on KVNF. This program was originally aired on May 29th, 2019. At the end of it, we'll have a special update that was recorded in early June 2020. Next, I talked to one of the crew's squad bosses and mentors, Mary Flynn, who works for the White River National Forest and was a wildland firefighter for 12 years. I asked her what her impression was of the women she's training.
I'm so excited for them. I love teaching. I'm passionate about leadership and women in fire. So I'm very stoked to be a part of today and wish I could have been here all week with them.
So tell me a little bit about your experience in wildland fire. And, you know, what has it been like for you as a woman on a wildland fire crew?
Sure. I started with AmeriCorps in 2005 in Southern California. And then a year and a half later, I got on a Forest Service engine, worked in the Front Range for a little while, and then to Idaho and back here to the Western Slope. All different things, engines, hot shot crew, helitech, dispatch, prevention, done a little bit of everything. And I've always had really good experiences. People have been really kind to me.
Have you ever experienced any discrimination or harassment as a woman in a fire situation or on a fire crew?
No, I haven't personally. I've known people maybe a degree or two away from me that have, and it's pretty upsetting, and trying to take action on that as quick as possible. I think the agency is doing what they can to turn that around, and there's a much greater culture going on right now, a much better culture shift of if you see something, say something, bystander training. Women have a lot bigger voice now than it feels like they did in the past. I would have been a little more nervous 14, 15 years ago to speak up and say something, and now I'm much more confident. If anything were to happen to me, my voice would be heard.
What's it like fighting fire? What's it like to be out there and, you know, on the ground and a fire crew?
Sure, I love it. I was sad I had to leave. My husband and I started a family and we're both in fire, so just got a little too challenging. But fighting fire is so much fun. Firefighters, I think most of them love what they're doing. And I think as long as there's not people or homes burning, fire is such a good thing for the environment and for the land that makes me feel good to be able to help out and be a part of it. I've had a few exciting days, I would say, but for the most part, we're just doing our job. We have lots of safety and rules in place. If our trigger points get hit, then we retreat if we need to and whatnot. But I had an old boss say something years ago that it's the best times of in his life being miserable. And it's so true. It's hard work. You're carrying a heavy pack. You're out swinging a tool, sweating in the sun, but you can make the best of it. And some of my best friends and met my husband through fire. Just, it's such a fun career path. I always enjoyed it.
Would you encourage your daughter to pursue wildland firefighting?
I don't know if I would. It's a lot of time away from your family and friends. And while I did make a new family of fire folks, it's a challenging thing and extremely hard on your body. A lot of people get long-term injuries and have to leave from injuries as well. So I don't know if I would.
I understand that wildland fire can also be a really stressful career. What are your thoughts on that?
I haven't had a close friend or coworker that I knew immediately die, and I feel like if I was in that situation, I would of course get immediate therapy. And I think that is a frequent thing where maybe someone that does die in the fire service is a few degrees of separation away from you and people don't get help for it, but it's always lingering and kind of a fog in your mind. And add a few of those up over a career, that really eats at people. So I'm fortunate I haven't known anyone, but I can imagine how hard that would be difficult to go through.
Do you feel like people working for federal agencies fighting fire, do they get the help that they need to cope with this kind of stress?
Just in the last few years on our unit, the Upper Colorado River, I noticed more and more effort to play into focusing on people's mental health. But previous to that and other places I've worked, there hadn't been a big push for it, so hopefully there is a culture shift in taking note that people need to address the stress in their life.
And we just heard from Mary Flynn, who spent many years with the Forest Service as a wildland firefighter. Although she says she might not encourage her own daughter to become a firefighter, she's providing a lot of mentorship and support to the young women who are here for training. I spoke to four of them about why they wanted to join this wildland fire crew and what they're learning.
Hi, I'm Sadie Forsyth. I am an assistant crew leader with the All Women's Fire Crew with the BLM and the WCCC. This is our first time working with fire. We have a few people who have a background in conservation, but for all of us, this is our first foot in the door.
So what made you want to become part of this first female wildland crew?
The opportunity that it provides, the training that we're getting, and the experience that is not readily available to most people. It's pretty unique, and just the fact that it's all women is awesome because it's definitely a male-dominated field.
As a crew leader, what's your role in the training?
Today, we had a lot of hands-on training. We went out and we dug some fire lines. We practiced with tools, communications. The training's been pretty rigorous. We've done a lot of PowerPoints, but we're doing a lot of physical training on our own to get ready for our pack test. And I guess my role as a leader is just to motivate all the young women on our team, lead by example, and just make sure everybody's getting where they're going. We've known each other for a total of 6 days. In that time, everybody's getting along very well. Personalities are showing. So far, the team seems to come together really well.
Is there anything that's been challenging for people to learn or aspects of training that are maybe more difficult?
Well, I guess it's just we're getting a lot of information thrown at us at one time. It's sucking through the big straw is what Lathan told us. We just have a boatload of information that is being thrown our way that we're having to process very quickly. So I guess that would be the biggest thing is just the learning curve. But I think that we are all well-qualified and bright young individuals, and we'll definitely make it work. I took a road trip to Colorado about a year ago, a two-week road trip. fell in love with it. That's one of the reasons that I wanted to come out here. Everything's just prettier.
What do you want to do after this session is over with?
Well, I guess it just depends on how much I enjoy wildland fire. I think that this program gives me an opportunity to get my foot in the door with wildland fire or any other natural resource job. So I'm thinking about following in that direction.
Hi, I'm Marissa Wyatt. I'm with the Western Colorado Conservation Corps' Women's Fire Crew. I'm from Daytona Beach, Florida. I got interested in fire by doing the Texas Conservation Corps last year, and I had a really awesome site sponsor who was a great, powerful woman in fire and really inspired me.
How did you find out about this opportunity?
I was just searching the internet and doing like all the research I could into different conservation corps and fire crews, and I was possibly going to stay in Florida and do just a fire school to do like structure fire. But then I found this opportunity and I'm like, oh, that's definitely the path for me.
So was part of what was appealing about it that it was an all-female crew?
That was definitely part of it. I am really excited to work with a bunch of really great, powerful women, and let's just build each other up throughout the year.
You'll be working here all summer long?
Yes, I will. I'll be here until November. And then I'm not quite sure what comes after that.
So maybe back to Florida?
Possibly, but I would love to stay up here if I could.
Is this the first time you've been to Colorado?
This is.
So yeah. What do you think so far?
It's beautiful. I can't believe the scenery I drove into. It was amazing. I've never seen the Rockies before. I've always grew up on the East Coast.
What's the training been like for you so far?
Lots of PowerPoints, learning so much. Lots of stuff that I have like gathered information-wise from previous assignments with the Texas Conservation Corps, but I've learned so much about fire that I did not know.
And how about the physical part of it? Has that been challenging to be out there swinging a Pulaski?
A little bit. I was in pretty good shape after the Texas Conservation Corps, but that ended in November last year, and I was just not really doing much until I came here. So I had a few months of off-season. And I definitely need to get back in shape to do the work that's required, but I think I'll get there in no time.
Do you feel like you're going to be making friends here that you keep for a long time?
Oh, totally. Yes, I have already come close to a few girls on the crew, and I'm excited to get to know the others more.
My name's Rachel Evers. I've actually been in Colorado for about a week before then, spent some time in Denver, and then drove to Grand Junction. And then we started, I think, on Thursday of last week. I'm from Charlotte, North Carolina.
So how did you get hooked up with this crew?
I actually found it online. I wanted to start with a conservation corps because I've heard a lot about them, but like, I didn't really think that there could be one that involved with like fire. But fire has always kind of interested me, so this is kind of like the best of both worlds for me. So I actually wasn't interested in wildfire at all. It was like structure fire and stuff like that. I wanted to get started with the Charlotte Fire Department back in my home state, but this is kind of a step in the same field or so. So I'm kind of getting a feel for both fields as well. So
and then after that, you'll be going back to Charlotte?
Yes, most likely.
So, and then you hope to get a job as a structural firefighter, an urban firefighter?
Depending on like how the rest of the season goes and everything, and probably. Yeah, but I was talking about like coming back maybe as like seasonal work. You could get started as like wildland firefighting and come and work like a fire season or something if I end up really enjoying it, which I do really enjoy it so far. And then I could still, you know, go back to Charlotte and stuff because, like, I just can't leave Charlotte. I don't know why. But I just keep going back. I could see myself getting into seasonal work, yeah.
So what do you like about firefighting?
I like the work. I like working with my hands. I suck at it pretty hard so far, but, like, I like working towards something. The past, like, two or three years, I worked at, like, the same job. I worked at a deli inside all day making sandwiches, yelling at people, talking to customers and stuff, which it's not really my thing. So I really like the hands-on work. I like working outside. I love weather. I love getting into weather. Weather has a big part in fire, I'm learning too. We spent like a whole day on it yesterday in the classroom. So it's really interesting to me. So it's interesting. It's hard. And it gives me room to like improve myself physically, mentally, and kind of like build myself up. And I love working with these girls, the team. It's very empowering.
Do you feel like it's a different experience than if you were out here with a bunch of guys?
I don't really know. I mean, I spent my whole life like growing up around guys. I had like friends, all my friends when I was growing up were guys and stuff too. So I don't really know. I can't really compare it, but it is like a male dominated field and stuff too. And being around all the women in the fire service and stuff, it's very, I don't know why, it feels empowering.
What's been the most challenging thing for you?
remembering a lot of the little terminologies, acronyms, stuff like that. I've never really been good at memorizing stuff like that. I'm more of like a hands-on learner, but and definitely also physically, like working up to the pack test at 3 miles with 45 pounds and stuff in 45 minutes, that's going to be rough. But as they were all been saying the past several weeks, that's the baseline requirement. And that's kind of like a steep hill to climb over time. But I enjoy working up to stuff like that. But definitely the physical work. And we dug fire line and stuff today. That was a lot of work.
My last interview was with Lorena Williams, who's based in Durango. She's been a wildland firefighter with the Forest Service for 18 years. I asked Lorena how she first got into fighting forest fires and what's kept her at it for so long. This is the Local Motion program on KVNF, and I'm Jody Peterson. Here's Lorena.
Well, I grew up in Vail, Oregon, a very small eastern Oregon town, and it was one of those fire center communities where, though it was a very small town, the Bureau of Land Management had a hotshot crew, a helitack crew, lots of fire engines. So I grew up surrounded by fire culture. This is sort of what kids did when they got out of high school. They joined one of the crews. And a lot of women in my graduating class, a lot of people in my graduating class went into fire when we got out of high school. It's a great way to make money for college. And, you know, a lot of us went in thinking we would do it for 4 years, make some good money, and then leave the agency. We all worked for various agencies. And that was my plan, too, but I kept coming back.
And what kept drawing you back?
I think the culture of camaraderie that you find on a fire crew. You have a close-knit group of people who you work really hard with. Something draws you together when you're working that hard and sleeping in the dirt and working together, eating together, living together. You do everything together, and you have your squabbles, and it's kind of like a small family, you know, and you make friends on a level that I've just never been able to make on a normal situation. Get to work outside, obviously. That's a wonderful part of working for these agencies.
And is it something that you plan to continue doing for a long time?
It is. And so last summer, I actually made the leap into wildland fire dispatch. And what's really awesome about that is that as I get a little bit older, it's a little bit easier on my body, but I'm also still able to go out into the field. It's sort of opening new doors to me that could lead me up into a higher position in the agency, and I'm pretty excited about that.
So what has it been like for you as a woman working in this field that is so dominated by men? Has it been difficult in any way? Have you experienced any harassment, or what's your experience been like?
Every firefighter's story is different. And for me, I think that female mentorship and friendship is incredibly important in fire. And so those first 2 years for me were a little bit tough because there weren't other, I mean, girls, really. I was 18 years old. There weren't other women to hang out with or to bond with. And, you know, it's hard when you're that age to have a lot in common with your older male counterparts. There was a little bit of loneliness for me, you know, as I've gotten older. The male friends that I make in fire sort of become Facebook friends, so to speak. But the female friends that you make in fire, you maintain for a lifetime. You know, the camaraderie and the networks and the community, they're some of my closest friends on the planet.
There is a perception within wildland fire that women are really kind of outsiders in that industry, and that maybe they should remain that way. Did you encounter that kind of an attitude?
What I can tell you is that we do need more women in the field, absolutely. And I think everybody recognizes that, and that's why great strides are being made, for instance, with this all-female fire crew outside of Grand Junction. And I really support that because while all-female firefighting crews are not necessarily the complete answer, they're part of the answer, right? It's a method to invite individuals who may not otherwise feel comfortable getting their chops in fire on like an engine crew like I did to get involved. And so, yes, we need more women in fire. And I'm starting to see the avenues open up for different people from different walks of life, not just women, to join the agencies. Something to keep in mind is that when we talk about culture, whether it's women in fire, fire as a whole, whatever it might be, it's different from crew to crew. It's different from forest to forest, region to region, and even between crew types. You have a different culture between hand crews or helitack crews or engines. They tend to attract different personality types and interests. They may not realize this yet, but the women just starting up on this new crew, I mean, it's a place that they're going to find mentorship and guidance into the greater world of fire in a way that I didn't have. And while I made it nonetheless, I think it's such a wonderful opportunity to get straight into fire in an environment that they feel comfortable. And, you know, there are other crews that do this too that aren't necessarily all women, like the Great Northern Fire Crew in Montana, that's considered a training crew, and it provides guidance for firefighters. And so there's a big push for this to get younger people in, and not necessarily younger people, but maybe less experienced in fire. And it's pretty neat to see, because when I started, you know, 18 years ago, none of those things, well, I didn't know about Great Northern. They may have existed then, but, you know, it just provides that opportunity for all different kinds of learning, all types of crews. And the thing is, with the women's crew, in this circumstance, they're likely to be more productive for each individual than that same individual would be if they were stuck on a crew where they felt uncomfortable or out of place. So it's a really neat opportunity. I'm excited to see it happening.
This program originally aired on May 29th, 2019. For an update on the all-female fire crew, I talked to Matt Jennings, Associate Director of the Western Colorado Conservation Corps, in early June 2020. I asked him what the crew ended up doing last summer once they'd completed training.
The crew got to experience 2.5 months of conservation projects. And so they were working on the I-70 corridor. They worked in a couple locations in Silt and just outside of Newcastle. And then the other location they worked on was actually on the Uncompahgre Plateau, just west of Dominguez Canyon.
Did the crew actually ever go out on any fires?
As they were doing projects, a few of them would be deployed on active duty rate, and they'd go work on different fires. They worked in Cortez, they worked in Monticello, Utah, a few of them went out to Nevada.
Did the pandemic wind up squelching your plans to have another all-female crew this year?
So, yeah, we had a crew all recruited, and we were just about to get started to training. We were going to work a little bit earlier this year in March, and it was as soon as the stay-at-home order came from the state of Colorado. So we actually had to made the tough decision not to bring anybody in from out of state this year for our fire crew. So we had two young women who were here locally, and they are going to be our women's fire crew this year.
Okay, just the two of them, huh?
Yeah.
And I understand some of the women who participated last year have actually gone on to get firefighting jobs?
You know, the last contact that I've had with them was in December, I believe. So I knew that some of them were, you know, applying for fire positions. Five of the eight of them are actively pursuing it this year with the BLM or in various locations.
So what was your overall assessment of the program last year? And is it something that you think Western Colorado Conservation Corps will be offering again?
Overall, I think that it was a success for its inaugural year. They were able to treat 130 acres locally to prevent wildfires. In the future, they did 2.5 miles of fire breaks. You know, I think that they got their foot in the door with the BLM. And I think that it's doing, you know, everything we wanted the program to do, and we can't wait to start it again.
And that was this week's edition of Local Motion, KVNF's public affairs program. And I'm Jody Peterson. Thanks for listening.